This is Dr. John R. Holton, Chairman of the Medical Section of the Northwest Heritage Commission, interviewing Edward A. Goodmanson, G-U-D-M-U-N-D-S-O-N, registered pharmacist, about his education and his work experiences in Moorhead and this area. This interview was conducted at St. Ansgar's Hospital January 31st, 1985. Eddie, will you discuss where you were born and your education?
Yes, I was born at Mountain, North Dakota, June 29, 1917. At the age of 12, I came to the Fargo-Moorhead area and graduated from Central High School, had 4 years at NDSU, and was licensed in June of 1940 in North Dakota, and then took the Minnesota boards and received my license shortly afterwards. And I entered the military service in January of 1942 and served in the Navy as a hospital corpsman, mainly in the South Pacific, and was discharged in September of 1945 and went to work at for Sigurdson Drug as a pharmacist, and then later managed the drugstore at Mackville, North Dakota, and after that bought the Otis Drug at Abercrombie, North Dakota, which burned down. And then I came back, worked for a short time at Foss Drug in Fargo, and then went back to Moorhead Drug Company, with whom I've been ever since.
Ed, will you tell us about your professional education, why you chose this profession, what are some of the differences in the educational system then as compared to now, and any anecdotes you may have of your professional education?
At the time I took pharmacy, only 4 years of school plus a year of apprenticeship was required. Pharmacy is now requires 5 years and 1 year of experience before you can write the boards. Plus, you have to have 30 hours of continuing education every 2 years in order to renew your license. When I first started out, penicillin had not been discovered yet, and the first sulfa drugs had just come on the market. It was not unusual to work many hours a day, for example, from 8 o'clock in the morning till 10 at night, and if customers are around, even longer. I think I've seen quite a few changes. I got in on the first usage of penicillin in World War II, at which time they were used it very sparingly because it wasn't that plentiful. And there have been tremendous changes since that time. When I first started out, we used to make our own suppositories, fold our own powders, and make some pills, especially those that required had to be made fresh. Now we do not have too much compounding, with exception of dermatologists often write prescriptions, and outside of that, most of the medicines are already made up for us.
The current drugstore has an entirely different image from the drugstore you entered at Botno in 1945. Eddie, will you tell us something about the typical drugstore then with its soda fountain as compared to what you see today with the supermarket drugstore?
In 1945, there weren't tremendous changes, except even then practically every drugstore had a soda fountain. But when I first started working part-time in a drugstore in 1934, it was not unusual that a new employee would have to wait about 6 months before he could wait on customers. He would start out by dusting and scraping labels and then possibly working behind the fountain before he ever got to wait on a customer in the regular part of the store. I can remember some things when I worked at the fountain. One time, one of our men was taking care of a squeaking stool. We had about 12 of them, had the seat off, a well-dressed lady to oil it, and a well-dressed lady came in and sat on the one seat that didn't have the chair on it. And I can also recall malted milks getting away on the mixer, which wasn't a very good thing to happen, but it did happen.
Ed, will you tell us about some of the medicines available in the early days of antibiotics, and what prescriptions people like Dr. Bottleson and Dr. Edward Humphreys Sr., Dr. Thysel and Ingebrigtsen used to prescribe. Tell us about some of the patented medicines that your store carried.
Some of the early doctors didn't have too great a choice of medicines to use, but they did write prescriptions for powders that we had to fold, and in some cases aspirin and was used along with what is now called Tylenol, acetaminophen, were used in powders to reduce fevers. There was a pill called ferrous carbonate or blood pills that had to be made up freshly, and once in a while we'd get a prescription for suppositories where you had to allow 2 hours, especially on a hot day, and had to cool the molds in the fountain and probably go down to the basement to finish the suppositories. And patent medicines, there was a lot of elixir, IQ&S, iron quinine and strychnine was used as a tonic. And beef, wine and iron was another very common one. There were other things, medicines like Father John's medicine. And a few years ago, Father John had a prescription filled and sent someone else down to pick it up, and they asked for Father John's medicine, and one of the employees went out on the shelf and took a bottle of Father John's medicine and took it out to him. We heard from Father John afterward, but he did get his right medicine.
This Father John should be identified as Father John Pickler, the chaplain at St. Ansgar's Hospital. Father John's medicine came out several years before Father John Pickler did. Ed, tell us about the business of the drugstore, the hours you were expected to be available to fill and compound prescriptions. Any mail deliveries or other way that you got their medications to the patients, and anything else that you remember from taking care of customers and their medications.
When I first started working part time during school in 1934, there was a trolley that ran from Fargo to Morehead, which I would take over. The streets had wooden blocks on them. There was a harness store in our block, and I can recall many times seeing a truck with solid tires driving around. There were four drug stores in the 1931-32 period listed in the telephone directory, all in the same block. There was the Johnson Pharmacy, B.F. Makel, Mills Drug Company, and the Morehead Drug Company. At that time, a 1934 menu listed the following prices. Ice cream sodas, all flavors, were 15 cents. Special sundaes ran all the way from 15 cents up to 40 cents. Milkshakes were 15 cents, and malted milk with milks with wafers were 20 cents. And the store, of course, was open often from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. And if you worked at the fountain and had all cleaned up, and the crowd came in over from the theater, you were expected to take care of them and then clean the fountain again. There was also a ladder with rollers mounted on a track so that merchandise or displays could be reached. There was no air conditioning. A couple of large overhead fans were used to circulate the air, and a large freeze scale stood in front of the fountain. And most of the people that had a sundae or ice cream soda, especially if they're overweight, would weigh themselves at the fountain. Later, this was donated to the Clay County Historical Society and still stands there in the railroad depot today. One of our employees, Martin Carlson, started work probably a week after he finished high school, and he was delivering prescriptions on a bicycle. He had promised to stay for 1 year, and he kept his promise. He stayed with us over 50 years and was awarded a watch at the end of that period.
Ed, you told me and showed me some of the early day prescriptions without naming names. Tell us about some of these prescriptions, the number of items they contained, and the ease with which they were read.
Many cases, the compounded prescriptions had 7, 8 different ingredients, and sometimes even more. One of the local doctors, who was a very good doctor, but was not renowned for his handwriting, once told a patient, "You'd better have this prescription filled in town, or they won't be able to read it." This man lived in Detroit Lakes, and he didn't listen to the doctor. He went down there, and when the pharmacist called about an hour later, the doctor said, "I told this fellow they wouldn't be able to read it," and he hung up on him.
Ed, why don't you tell us about what Center Avenue in Moorhead looked like when you were in school, and I assume you were working for your uncle, Ed Sigurdsson, in the Moorhead Drug during your school time. Tell us what Center Avenue looked like.
I guess I don't have too many recollections of what Center Avenue looked like, except that I can recall very well the Leo Johnson furniture store and Kiefer Auto had some of their shops right across the street from us, at least their body shop. There were several businesses along Center Avenue, small businesses, but it was quite a variety. Ed Savory has sold hamburgers there, and the old Comstock Hotel was serving meals for as little as 50 cents. And it was a well-balanced business district with a lot of variety. There wasn't as much car traffic. There was considerable foot traffic. We weren't too concerned about parking at that time.
Ed, you mentioned that a pharmacist in 1985 has to have 30 hours continuing education. When did that start, and how do today's pharmacists get their training? And in fact, how did the pharmacists of the old days get their training?
The pharmacists of the old days got their training on the job. Actually, many of them did not have too much schooling because at one time only 6 months was required, but they had to have so many years working under somebody. And later on, this turned out to be a 2-year pharmacy course, and then 3 years, then 4 and 5. And continuing education in Minnesota has only been with us a few years. I recall in 1975, we had a week in San Juan, Puerto Rico, in which half days were devoted to continuing education, the rest of it free time. And that would be worth so many continuing education credits. University of Minnesota often puts on sessions in different aspects of pharmacy, and you get credits for this also. And in North Dakota, NDSU School of Pharmacy does the same. And both of the colleges have correspondence courses for people that have difficulty, like one-man stores, in getting out. So there's actually ample opportunity for a person to get enough credits.
Ed, you've seen changes in the complexion of the drugstore from a single operator, a drugstore with a soda fountain, to a mini supermarket. What do you see the drugstore of the future being or becoming?
This is a real tough question. I have my roll top desk at home. Front page of a magazine showing a picture of the future drugstore, and what they were guessing at was a little bit wild, and they didn't come very close to it. The way things look right now, apparently we're going to see more HMOs. Their hospital practice is changing. There's a big effort being made at cost containment. But I see a role of a pharmacist may change, but there's still going to be a need for them. Every store of any size filling 75 to 100 prescriptions a day will probably be using a computer more and more, because things are so complex, federal requirements, insurance of all kinds, that it's almost impossible to keep track of things without the computer. The computer has been one of the most frustrating things that I've run into in the several years, but once you're through it, you don't see how you could get along without it, and you wouldn't want to go back without a computer. So we will probably see more and more computers used, for one thing. There are more women will be entering pharmacy. You don't have the long hours anymore. There'll still be a lot of work done in research, and there will be changes. There may not be as many pharmacists as we think with traditional corner drugstore pharmacists, because a store like that has a very difficult time competing nowadays. But with regulations the way they are, I see we're still going to need several pharmacists, so I don't think they're going to be phased out by any means.
Eddie, you've been active in the community and in many aspects of the community, including the chamber and music. Why don't you tell us something about your hobbies over these many years?
For several years now, I've been very interested in woodworking. I started that some 35 years ago after I had an ulcer, and it seemed to be something that did help me in a lot of ways. And I have also been worked in the Chamber of Commerce. I've been Secretary Treasurer of the Chamber and been on the Church Council, and also involved with in music. At one time we had a small band which they sort of called the Clown Band, which played for functions of the chamber. The chamber furnished the hat and the uniforms, and We played on several occasions. We met dignitaries. We met Phyllis Diller at the airport when she came in for Greater Moorhead Days. And we played for a meeting of when they had three governors at Moorhead State College. And on other occasions. Now, this has been a lot of fun, and I've also belonged with and played with a Legion Fargo Post 2 band, and we play at currently play at nursing homes. We play at Eventide and nursing homes in Fargo, like Bethany, Villa Maria, and other places, and we get a lot of enjoyment out of this. I have been involved with the Clay County Historical Society, and as president, I'm vice president of that, and currently I'm working on a full-scale Red River Valley ox cart with John Hall, and this will, when completed, will go into the new Hiam Combs Heritage Center.
Eddie, you have had a fine family relationship. Why don't you tell us about your wife and your family?
I have two boys, and one living in Minneapolis and or Plymouth area, and one in Moorhead here. Wayne, who lives in Moorhead, has been with has been interested in photography. He has taught adult education in photography, and now is in the process of coordinating arts for the state of North Dakota. Our older son Curtis lives in the Plymouth area and has been with retail dental centers as in the franchising end of it, and is now involved in computer training courses in that area. My wife has done volunteer work at Eventide and at St. Ansgar's Hospital, and she present is mainly a homemaker, but she does enjoy voluntary work like Meals on Wheels and other things like that.
You retired in June of 84. I don't imagine a pharmacist can retire completely. He's got to keep his finger in the mixer, so to speak. But why don't you tell us about your retirement, what you're doing now, and things you like and dislike about retirement?
Actually, up to a short time ago, I've been working 2 days a week at the Moray Drug Company. And just lately, I've been working 1 day a week in West Fargo. And this is almost enough to keep me current with things that are going on. I have enjoyed retirement a great deal. It's given me a time to spend more time in the hobbies, and also has given us a chance to travel. And we do have a motor home, and wife and I take off, and we often don't work on a real close schedule. We'll go as far as we want in 1 day, and then enjoy things as we go along. And this has been a great deal of, we've had a great deal of pleasure from this.
Well, to wrap this thing up, let me ask you what you thought of your life. Your life as a pharmacist, your life as a citizen of Moorhead and Clay County, and what you thought were most enjoyable, and what are some of the things that weren't so much fun and were difficult?
mostly things have been pretty positive. The only thing that I possibly would regret a little bit is not having had more time to spend with the family. I've worked many weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, and many evenings, and that means that there are things that we would like to do together that we couldn't do. On the whole, it's given me pleasure if I'm able to help people out that need help or to give advice that might be of some value to somebody. And the community has been a very good community to live in. I mean, we have friends here, and there are a lot of people that we like, and despite the weather, I really don't have any complaints about that. There are a lot of things to go to. There is in the way of entertainment. There are a lot of things to do, and a retired person, if he is able to get around, would have no excuse for not being busy most of the time.
We have been interviewing Edward A. Goodmanson, registered pharmacist, who has just completed 44 years as a registered pharmacist. He was an NDSU graduate, and ultimately he bought into the Moorhead Drug Company, of which his uncle was the principal owner. This he did in 1951, and he was a resident and is a resident of Moorhead since that time. Ed continues to be active in the Clay County Historical Society and has many mementos of the early years of pharmacy in Moorhead. This is Dr. John R. Holton. Thank you.